Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been following the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman by the well. And as we learn more about the fields are white for harvest, we'll be picking up in John chapter 4, verse 31, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
The most basic and most effective form of evangelism is actually personal evangelism. You know, most people come to know Jesus Christ because another person tells them about the Lord, exemplifies the Christian life before them. But there's nothing that can substitute for one-on-one evangelism. People just sharing the life of Jesus with other people. You see, because when they hear your testimony and when they see your life, and when you share God's word with them, all of those things are working together to bring about God's work in their lives. I think if all of us just went out throughout the week saying, Lord, use me this week to share your love with somebody, I think we would see many, many people coming to faith because he's got work for us to do. And the great work is that work of spreading the gospel. And this woman, who is a brand new believer, she's right there back in her community telling people, hey, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. And you know, sometimes it's just simply saying, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Why don't you come to this thing with me, just grabbing somebody and saying, hey, come along for this. Personal evangelism, God's way of spreading his word. And so this woman went out, communicated that message to those back in the town, and then they went out of the city and they came to him. Now, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Wow. He's talking about the life of the Spirit. And he says, my food, or that which sustains me, that which nourishes me, that which brings me satisfaction, is doing the will of him who sent me and finishing his work. That's an attitude that it would be wonderful if we all had. You know, that everything else is just sort of take it or leave it. If I've got to eat, yeah, I'll eat. But that's not what it's all about. That's not what I'm taken up with. And so often what happens to us is we just get distracted. You know, we get sucked up into all of these things that they're not about the will of God. They're not about finishing his work. They're just about meaningless kinds of things. How many people And I'm talking about Christian people. How many people in the church are all caught up in trying to get things? You know, instead of being concerned with that work of God, they're preoccupied with trying to get stuff. And it just struck me. Jesus owns everything. He's the heir of all things. Everything. And here's the world of men. They just are in this striving mode, and it's all about trying to get things. It's all about trying to get position. It's all about trying to get power. It's all about trying to get possessions. Jesus owns everything, and guess what? He's going to give it to his followers in the end. So don't strive to get it now. Wait. He's going to give it to you ultimately anyway. And you see, the whole point is that while everybody else in the world, that's what they're preoccupied with, we're not to be concerned with that because it's all ours anyway. And it's ultimately going to be given to us in the future. We are to be concerned with and taken up with the things of the kingdom here and now, not worrying about those things, but having that same attitude. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And of course, it was in this particular instance, it was bringing the truth and the life of God to this woman. But now listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Now, evidently, there was a saying, 4 months and then comes the harvest. Jesus isn't talking about a harvest of fruit or vegetables at this point. He's talking about a harvest of souls. And I would imagine that as he said this, probably looking in the distance, there was that crowd of people coming out of the town with the woman coming to hear what he had to say. And here's this crowd coming toward Jesus, and he says, "Look, lift up your eyes. The fields are already white for harvest." In another place, Jesus said, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest." As I said a moment ago, what things are really about in this present age, they're really about a harvest. It's about reaping. It's about gathering in souls into the kingdom. That is our primary purpose for being here. And we have got to get that into our thinking process. That's not just what the pastor is to do or the evangelist is to do or the missionary is to do. It's what we're all to be involved in, this great harvest that God is bringing in. And he has us scattered and situated in all kinds of different places. You know, I believe that we all ought to think in terms of missions. Not necessarily meaning that you have to pack your bags and head off to another country, but that when you step out your door in the morning and go out into the world, you are going out into the mission field. Most of the people around you are not believers. So what does that tell you? It tells you you're a missionary. That's your mission field. It's the people that God has placed you amongst. That's the attitude that we as believers need to adopt. Jesus said the fields are white. The fields are white for harvest. You know, as we look around the world today, the fields are white for harvest. So many people lost without the knowledge of Christ. And I believe many of them are just, they're waiting to hear. Many are waiting to hear. And, you know, as Christians, we need to understand that the church is really intended by God to be this community of people that are on a mission. And you think of groups of people historically that have been on a mission. And take, for example, what happened back in the last century with communism. What did you have with communism? You had numbers of people who adopted a philosophy. They had a shared philosophy and vision for the world, and then they pooled all of their resources together, and they put their best foot forward and gave all of their energy to trying to spread that philosophy. And they were amazingly successful. And back in those days when there was all of that zeal for communism, there were Christian writers and leaders who would look on and say, man, if we had half the zeal amongst believers that the communists have, we could spread the gospel around the world. But how is it that that is so often the case? People who don't have the truth are often more zealous than people who do have the truth. But we need to understand what the church is to be. We are a community of people with a shared vision and a specific mission, and the mission is to get the gospel out to as many people as possible. That's what we're doing here. And we all have a different role to play, a different part to play, a different contribution to make, but that's the overall vision. You know, you think of it when you get a community of people with a shared vision, regardless of what the vision is, you get a community of people with a shared vision and a passion to see it accomplished, that group of people are going to do some pretty significant things. Sadly, though, the church is so often confused about what we're even supposed to be doing, and we're so busy fighting with each other and arguing about this and that that we can't even get the thing rolling. And it's really, I'm sure, a grief to the Lord. But the fields are white. And as we just scan the globe, you think of nations with multitudes of people that have never heard the gospel, people that would love to hear the story of Jesus. They'd love to hear the truth about Jesus. The fields are white for harvest. But you see, I can't be stuck in a mentality that, well, you know, this is just who I am and what I am, and this is where I'm from, and I've never known anything else. I've got to be open to say, Lord, the fields are white for harvest. Maybe you want to send me somewhere else. You know, so often Christians get bogged down over things like, well, you know, I really like the weather here. The culture is so nice right here. You know, this is really cozy and comfortable for me. It's fine. Good weather's great. But, you know, that's not what it's all about ultimately, is it? And living in a nice, comfortable environment, that's a good thing. But if God's saying, you know, I've got something different for you, I want to bust you out of that, we have to realize that that's a very real possibility. Because that's what the Lord is into. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. So all around the world, you name it, all around the world, I believe that Southern California is probably, well, it's at least one of the few places on earth where there is an abundance of ministry going on, an abundance of teaching, and an abundance of great churches. And, you know, it's a wonderful place spiritually. But these kinds of places are few and far between. And anybody who's left the area, you know, you find out pretty quickly, oh boy, it's a different world. And wherever you want to go, there's a need everywhere. Abroad, all throughout the nations, hungry people waiting to receive the gospel. But again, God doesn't call everybody to pack up and move to another country, as I said, but right here at home, many, many opportunities We have a young Japanese guy in the Bible college, and he was telling that he left Japan because of his absolute hatred for Japan. Just did not want to be part of that culture. So he left Japan. He came here to the States in search of, you know, life and prosperity and meaning and all that. In the course of being here, he gets saved. And he ends up at the Bible college. And he just went to Dave and he said, "The Lord has spoken to me clearly. He's calling me back to Japan to take the gospel back to my people." And that's what's happening. And we have to understand that. We have to realize that. We have to think in those terms, because the fields are white. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. But again, let me go back to an earlier point. Who is the laborer in this particular story? It's this woman. It's this simple, sinful woman. She becomes the laborer. She becomes the reaper. She suddenly got a crowd of people behind her, and they're all rushing toward Jesus. They want to hear the story. What is my point? My point is this: God wants to use you. And again, we've got to break out of the mentality that, well, I'm just little old me. You know, I probably can't do anything for the Lord. All of us are little old me. That's just the way it is. But it's not about who I am. It's about who He is and what He is able to do in a life that's yielded to Him. That's simply what it comes down to. And so, listen as Jesus goes on. He says, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." So he who reaps receives wages. You know, you've heard this before. It's true. There's really not anything you can take to heaven with you. You can amass all of the wealth imaginable, but when you die, it stays right here. It does not go anywhere. But there is one thing you can take to heaven. You can take the souls of men and women. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Reaping, receiving wages, gathering fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true: one sows and another reaps. And listen to this: I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. There's these two things. There's sowing and there's reaping. Sometimes you sow, but you don't have the opportunity to reap. Somebody else will later come along and reap. Sometimes we get hung up with this whole thing of sharing our faith because we do it and we don't see an immediate result. In other words, we don't have the kind of experience that's described here where Jesus speaks to this woman and she immediately gets saved. And so we get discouraged sometimes. We think, well, what use is it? You know, I talked to that person for 2 hours and then they shook my hand and said, "See you later." But you know what you were doing? You were sowing. And nothing can ever be reaped unless it's first sown. So we should not be discouraged if we're not reaping. We just need to remember that perhaps God has appointed us to be the sowers. He will bring along the reaper. Sometimes he allows us to be the reaper. Sometimes you sit, talk to somebody for 10 minutes, and suddenly they tell you, "You know, I'd just love to receive Christ." You think, "Boy, that was easy." Well, you know what? There were a few people before you who walked away thinking, "Boy, that was tough." Man. You see, they were the sowers. But you get to reap. And then, of course, there are those occasions where you get to do both. It's just all at the same time. You sow something and then you reap it, and it's an amazing thing. You know, there's nothing more wonderful than sharing your faith with somebody, and there's nothing more glorious than seeing somebody come to put their trust in Jesus Christ. This 38th verse is a verse that's very dear to my heart, because the Lord gave me this verse when he sent us to the UK, and I believe that it is yet to be fulfilled. I believe that we planted and have been planting and will keep planting. I believe there's a great harvest that's going to come That's just my own personal conviction. So as we continue with the story and as we wrap things up, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Interesting. We have no information at all about the 2 day stay of Jesus with the Samaritans, except from John right here that he actually stayed with them 2 days. You wonder what happened in those 2 days. But these are some of the things that just are not recorded for us. Did he heal people while he was there? Did he raise people from the dead? Of course, he taught them. That's clear from the context here. But you wonder, what else did he do? And we know that shortly after Pentecost, it wasn't too long before the gospel actually came once again to the Samaritans. And there was a great work of the Spirit among them. So Jesus was there with them, spending those days with them, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So they were touched by her testimony. Their curiosity and their interest in Christ was piqued as they heard her story. But then they went and they listened to him themselves. And you see, God will use us in our story. He'll use us to maybe just build a bridge. And you could just be that bridge that gets somebody to think about Jesus or to listen to a teaching or to come to a church service. And then they hear and they're convinced. Ultimately, each one of us ourselves, we have to be convinced because we hear Christ speaking to us. We can't go far on somebody else's relationship. We've got to have our own personal encounter with Christ. And that's what happened there among the Samaritans. They heard him for themselves, and they knew that he was indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What an amazing thing. Think of it in its context historically. The Samaritans know this is the Messiah. This is the Savior of the world. The Jews to whom he came, they didn't know it. And even though he ministered among them so thoroughly in comparison to the 2 days in Samaria, of course, many in Israel sadly never did draw the right conclusion. And so let's offer ourselves up to the Lord, realizing the harvest is great and recognizing that that's why we're here. We're here to be involved in this great work of spreading the gospel, expanding the kingdom of God, sowing and reaping in God's great harvest field. Lord, we thank you that you are working and that you've invited us to come along and work together with you. Lord, we thank you for where you've placed us in life. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one to realize that where they're working or where they're living or the people they're associated with, the family members, none of this is an accident. But Lord, you've placed each person where you have them so that they would give a testimony of you. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up doors, that you would give boldness, that you would soften hearts, and Lord, that we might be sowing and reaping in these days. And Lord, I pray too that you would raise up and send forth people, Lord, not just down the street to work, but across the country to another state maybe, or across the ocean to another country, to those that need to hear your word. Lord, we understand that the fields are white for harvest. Use us in these days, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Pastor Brian has been sharing with us, our mission field is wherever we are, and may we truly come to realize that the fields are indeed white for harvest. We'll continue with more of our study from the Gospel of John in our next lesson, but right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message or would like to order a copy for a friend or a loved one, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, "The Fields Are White for Harvest." Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3229. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.